Welcome, everybody. I'm Margaret, Martin's wife. I'm just going to read some scripture for Martin and have a prayer, and Martin's going to come up and do a preach. This is from John's Gospel, and it's chapter 3, verse 16 and following. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. All those who do evil hate the light and will not come into the light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But those who live by the truth come into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that they have done what they have done has been done in the sight of God." Father, we just thank you for this time together, and we just thank you for your word, Lord. And we just pray, I pray for each person here today, that you will just touch their hearts, Lord, today. And we pray that you will just reach down to each life, Lord, today with your word, and reach in, Lord, and give each person here exactly what they need today. Just bless each one, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks to you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to Amazing Grace Teesside, the first morning that we're meeting. Fantastic. It's great to see you. I woke up this morning with Margaret, and which you do when you live together, man and wife. I woke up this morning and I said to her, "Come on, we've got to get up for church. We're going to a new church this morning, and it's ours." And so it's all very new, isn't it? It's new for you. It's new for us as well, so don't worry. And we want you just to relax and enjoy yourself, because it's meant to be amazing grace, not amazing stress. But it's fantastic to see so many people here. I can't believe it. It's so moving to see friends and people from all over the place. We've got people from Estonia. We've got people from Iran. We've got people from Darlington. So it's absolutely awesome to see you. And we want you to enjoy yourself and be part of something that God's doing here. This is a new church. This isn't the church that's going to be, but it is the beginning. And it's an initial step. And actually, a really important step as well. A really significant step. I think the people who God is going to bring in this first part of our church growth are going to be really key people. And so that's you, and but you're free just to come and have a look and see what you think. And when we first had this concept of beginning this church, it was back in January. I've been preaching for lots of years, traveling lots of different nations as an evangelist, and worked in local churches all my life. I became a Christian when I was about 17. I was a punk rocker from here, Middlesbrough, and I met Jesus and had a wonderful conversion experience. Shortly after that, I met Margaret, my wife. You know, so we've been preaching for a lot of years, but never started a church like this. And so when we first had this concept of starting the church as a base for a lot of international work that we're already doing, and a place where Teesiders can come and meet Jesus in a new way, immediately God gave me this little message that I'm going to share.
Just three words. Whoever, whatever, and wherever, which is to do with the sort of broadness of the invitation of God. This is our new our website. You can find it. It's just getting constructed, a bit like everything around here. So not everything's there, but there's some info there for you to find out what's going on and everything, find out a bit more about us. This is the website, amazinggrace.eu, which is EU is for Europe. And the www stands for this: whoever, whatever, and wherever. And, you know, Margaret read there the wonderful passage where Jesus says in his own words, you know, whoever believes shall have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him can have eternal life. Whoever you are this morning, you can have eternal life. Whoever you are, you're welcome. Jesus' arms are open to you on the cross. And in one sense, our arms are open to you as well. You know, you can come, you can find out what God's doing here, you can be part of this, whoever you are. And you might, you know, it's an interesting thing, whoever. You know, who do you think you are? People think themselves as different things, don't they? You know, you can think of yourself as nothing. Oh, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, or I'm too bad for all this. Well, the good news is, you know, God does awesome things with nobodies. God built the church with a lot of New Testament nobodies. It says in 1 Corinthians that God chose people who didn't consider themselves to be anything, but he made them into something awesome. And I think God's going to do that, especially in this initial stage. I think God's going to work on people's hearts here, heal their hearts, change them, and transform them into something brand new. You know, when we first, again, very early on, I had a dream. Just when we started talking about the church, I had a vivid dream about me being in a cave, like David. Some of you know the story of David, that he was on the run in a cave. He was doing things for God, but not ultimately where he was going to be. And when he was in the cave, people came to him, a group of people, and it describes them like this. They were depressed. They were in debt. Anyone here in debt? They were discouraged. There were a bunch of all sorts of people and a bunch of rabble, frankly. But they came to him in the cave. They rallied to something of God that was happening, actually. And the interesting thing is, as the story of David's life goes on, ultimately he becomes the king of the whole nation. As the story of David's life goes on, these first people who came to him in the cave, they're his mighty men. They become this incredible army that God uses to win the whole area for him. And I think there's something of God in this initial stage where God's just inviting whoever. You might think of yourself as nothing, but you know what? If God's calling you here, I think you're something. And you're going to be something very significant with God. I think that's true. God uses people who are utter failures and who write themselves off. I'm a rubbish Christian. I've never done any good. Or I don't even know God. My life's a mess. I don't think I fit in here. Let me tell you something about Jesus' love. You do fit in here. You do belong here. You came here for the first time, but actually, if you come to church, you're coming home. God created you. You exist because God made you. God loves you. And the closer you come to him, the closer you come home, and the closer you come to who you actually are. You find out who you are as you come to know Jesus. It's an amazing thing. I'll be talking to you more about it next week, about our identity. But you know, whoever you are, God can do awesome things with your life. We have a lot of friends and stuff internationally, and we were chatting to some of our good friends, Karen and Masai from Kenya. A couple of you know them. Karen's a local last Teesider, went to Africa with Youth with a Mission, came back with a big, beautiful black husband called Masai. He's not tall like Masai warriors, but he's an awesome guy. And he's going to be coming and preaching here next year. I've already booked him in. And it's a fantastic story. He was brought up a Muslim. Jesus appeared to him in his bedroom, and he was converted in his own bedroom, thrown out of his family, risked his life, ended up going to hide in this Youth with a Mission base in Mombasa, ends up becoming the leader of the whole base, marries Karen. And he was in our house the other day, and we were chatting to him. And he's being used by God to take Alpha into all the prisons all over Kenya. It's an amazing guy. He knows Nicky Gumbel and all these people. He's just an incredible guy, what God's done with his life. He was telling me and Margaret a little story the other day about some of the guys in prison. And there was a guy there who was a murderer, but never confessed it. And they'd bring him up to court, and they'd have, you know, he'd be saying, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. And this murderer finds his way into the Alpha course, and he's chatting to Masai. And Masai said, this is something Jesus said. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that sort of touched this guy's heart a bit. He thought, I'm not free. I've been in this prison for 3 years. I'm probably never going to get out. But I'm pleading not guilty. And I'm not free in myself either. And he talked to Masai afterwards. Masai didn't realise that he wasn't a Christian or anything at this point. He had a little chat with Masai afterwards. He says, tell me a bit more about that. The truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Masai said to him, yeah, you know, even if you stay in this prison, you can be free. And this man said, if I confess what I've done something very serious. I could die. I mean, they've got the death penalty in Kenya. And Messiah said, even if that happened, if you were right with God, you would be free. You'd be free in your conscience. You'd be forgiven. He left him with that thought. He goes back to his cell on the night. And this man starts to pray. He was coming up to court the next day. He was before the judge the next day. He starts to pray for the first time in his life. God, I'm a mess. I'm a murderer. I've killed someone. I've done this. I've done all sorts of things in my life. Can you forgive me? Can you help me, please? And again, he had this amazing encounter with Jesus himself in his cell. And Jesus let him know, you're forgiven. You're free. He went to court the next day. And before they started the usual proceedings for someone who's not guilty, he said, can I say something, please, to the judge? And the judge said, yeah, you can. He said, first of all, I'd like to apologize to you because every time you've brought me up here and asked me if I've murdered this man, I've lied to you. I said I didn't, but I did. And I'd like to confess the truth because last night I became a Christian and God showed me that the truth has set me free. And I need to live by the truth from now on. And then he turned to the family of the man he'd murdered. This is true. This just happened a few months ago. And he said to the family, words can't express what I owe you. I'm so, so, so sorry. And that I did this very thing. I killed your relative. But all I can say is, I'm sorry. I've become a Christian. And only God can put everything right ultimately. But I'm confessing to you the truth today. Everyone was really quiet. He sits down. The judge is just about to proceed. And the family stand up. They say, can we say something? The judge says, yes, you can say something. The family say, we just want this man to know that we are Christians too. And because Jesus died for us and forgave us our sins, we say now publicly, we're forgiving him. We want you to know that you're pardoned for everything you've ever done to our family. We forgive you. They sit down. Everyone's in utter shock. The judge doesn't know what to do. The judge said, I've never heard anything like this in my life. He said to the man, but the law is the law. I'm a judge. It's wonderful that you've received forgiveness from these people. But the law says, death row, you've admitted guilt to murder. You have to die. They take him back down. His lawyers hear about what happened in the court. So they go and see this guy who's on death row. They say to him, we think you should appeal. He said, appeal? What are you talking about? I've just confessed publicly that I've killed this man. I'm on death row. They said, nevertheless, we think because of what happened in that court, you should appeal. So he appealed. His appeal was accepted. And he was removed from death row onto life sentence. His life was saved. 25 years in prison he was due to spend. He'd done 3. Then, the next month, Kenya have their elections. They get a new president. The president is allowed to release a handful of prisoners from all of Kenya, and you know what's coming. This man was chosen to be released. In 1 month from saying to Jesus, can you do anything with me? I'm a murderer, I'm a wretch, he was not only right with God, he was not only forgiven from the people he destroyed, the truth had literally set him free. Now, he's preaching about Jesus. He's going back in the prison with Masai. We've got a video about it. We're going to stick it on the website so you can watch it. Or you can borrow the DVD if we can get that going. But anyway, I'm sure we can. And so listen, what about you? Well, I've never murdered anyone. You probably haven't. Or maybe you have, I don't know. Hey, anyway, you're welcome. God uses murderers, doesn't he? I was sat in Home House prison once talking to the lads. Wasn't having a very good time. They weren't listening very much. And so I sat down and said, listen, I want to tell you a story about 3 murderers who God used. You might have heard of them before. They're in the Bible. One's called Moses. The other's called David. The other's called the Apostle Paul. And suddenly, they were interested. God uses people who've messed up. If that's you, if you feel like I'm a nobody, you don't know what I've done, you don't know how I live when I'm not here, hey, God does. and he loves you. He wants to meet you where you're at. He wants to forgive you, change you, come into your life, do something new. Whoever you are, you know what? You're awesomely welcome, even if you feel like you're a nobody. And maybe you feel like you're a somebody, and maybe you're right. I'm a somebody. I've known Jesus a long time. I know the Bible. I've got a ministry. That's absolutely fantastic. Maybe you are somebody. But even if you are a somebody, I want to encourage you to forget the past and let go of it and get ready for something new. To do what I've done to do this. I've had loads of experience in ministry and traveling around for the years, but I know that I've had to let go of it. I've stopped all traveling and everything else to do this because I know this is going to be a move of the Holy Spirit, a huge wave of God. This isn't just going to be a local church. It's going to be an international movement of God. It really is. And it might sound weird talking about it in this little cave today, but it's the truth. That's what God's got this marked for. And so, in one sense, you need to let go of the past, however good it is, to reach into the new thing that God's doing. And I want to encourage you to dare to do that if you can. It's not an easy thing. It's not been easy for me. But if you're called to be part of this, I think there'll be a bit of that. There'll be a bit of unlearning. There'll be a bit of relearning some things that are going to revolutionize your life, actually. When Jesus began to gather people around himself, he said to them, come and see. To some people, he said, follow me. You just need to do this. Follow me. To other people who were sort of looking, the earlier apostles who were with John the Baptist, he said, and they said, Lord, what are you doing? Where are you going? He said, come and see. And at this stage of the church, it can only be that for some of you guys, isn't it? You can't make a commitment to anything until you come and see. So just come and see. That's fine. These guys were already involved in something really good. They were with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the latest thing. John the Baptist was incredibly successful and powerful. The whole nation were repenting. It was like revival. Why did those guys step away from that? For Jesus, who was just beginning, could only be God. They sensed in their heart, there's something about this guy. This is the next thing. God's going to move with this guy. And John the Baptist was saying, yeah, you're right, he is. You need to go with him. And they came to Jesus and became part. Again, bunch of nobodies. Later, the authorities noticed that they were unschooled, ordinary men that shook the world. Maybe you think you're somebody and it's like a pride issue. That can be true. That can hold us back, all of us. You know, those of us who've had a lot of experience with God and life, we can think of ourselves too highly sometimes to get into what God wants us to do. And we have to let go of that sometimes. I read recently that the VIP number plate, you know, everyone, they auction it and people pay hundreds of thousands of pounds to be VIP one. Apparently people really want to be important and really want to matter. And the truth is, you know, what Ian's been singing about this morning is you already do matter. You matter to God. Jesus died for you. The big VIP written over your life is on that table. The bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus on the cross is what makes you somebody. We should look at more, you know, next week. But there's an opportunity here to move into something incredibly, incredibly new. New for us. Some of this is very prophetic for us. In one sense, I've been given from God a really clear vision of what we're going to be doing and where we're going. I might share that more with you as time goes on. But in another sense, we're sort of going to find out as well. You come on the early stages, you get part of the creation of what God's doing. You know, someone said to Margaret the other day, so you're starting a house church? She said, no. It's a good answer. I said, well, what type of church would it be? She said, do you know what? We'll have to see. There's a sense in which that's true. The Holy Spirit is speaking and shaping things as we go along. You're part of that. As God brings people, that affects what's going to be. And that's exciting. You know, if you're in the underground in London, you're on the Blue Line. The Blue Line's awesome, but it is the Blue Line. You have all sorts of different destinations. You get on and off. That's your destination because you're on the Blue Line. But if you want to change everything, it's easy. Here's what you do. You take one step on an escalator and it takes you up to another level. Now you're on the Red Line. totally different opportunities, totally different destinations. Is God calling you to do that? Isaiah says, forget the past. Look, I'm doing a new thing. And sometimes to get into it, you need to take a step of faith and say, do you know what? I don't even know what destinations are on the red line, but I'm coming off the blue line. I've been in the blue line long enough. I'm moving. I need to move. I've been here. I've been like this long enough. I want to get sorted, healed, filled, changed, powerful, successful. Here's the other thing. Whatever you do. I love this, the broadness of God. Isn't it lovely? Whoever. Well, whoever you choose. Who'd like to come? Yeah, well, you're chosen then. How do you become part of what God's doing? Well, you opt in. And then when you opt in, you realise God chose you to be here. Wow, it's weird. How does it work? Works like this. See, this is a class and I'm the teacher. I walk in and I say, today I'm going to choose 10 people to go with me this weekend to Disneyland. By the time I've said Disney, before I've got to land, there's certain hands up. Me, 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 choose me. Kids are choosing to be chosen. Matt, we're free. You're all free. People choose to be where they're going to be, where they end up. Do you know who goes to heaven in the end? Whoever wants to. Do you know who walks with Jesus? Whoever'd like to. Do you know how much of Jesus you've got in your life right now? That's as much as you want. Because you can have as much of Jesus as you like. He's available to all of you, whoever. And then the lovely whatevers of the Bible, whatever. So broad, it's awesome. This is what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk by the counsel of this world, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his word, he meditates day and night. Whatever he does succeeds. Whatever. Is there a way to live where whatever you do works? Actually, there is. It's walking with God. There's a way to walk with God where whatever you do will succeed. You can be blessed in your marriage, in your parenting, in your family, in your relationships, in your life. You can be. There is a way. It's to walk with God fully. And part of that is the word of God. Just feeding on the word of God and receiving truth that sets you free, and truth that builds you up, and truth that renews your mind. And, you know, whatever you're called to do, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. You know, when you're starting off a church like this, it's like, well, whatever your hand finds to do. I'm called to preach. Awesome. Can you run a few cables at the same time? Can you sweep up and help us set some chairs out? You know, whatever your hand finds to do, just do it with all your heart at first. Start serving, and then, you know, let's see what God will do. There's no shame in serving, is there? It's an awesome thing. But nevertheless, some of us are called to preach. Some of us are called to go to the nations. Some of us are called to start other churches from this one. Some of us are called to significant world-shaking leadership. And if that's you, do you know what? You're in the right place. God's started this church to release the leadership logjam. You're not going to sit around waiting in a queue. One day I'll... And God's given us a clear vision and pattern to be able to release that, which we'll show you as we go along. But firstly, you've got to find that whatever that God has for you, haven't you? Paul says, I haven't already become perfect. But again, forgetting the past, I'm reaching forward to take hold of that for which he took hold of me. God took hold of you for a that, for a reason. We want to help you to find that, what it is, the purpose of your life, what you're on earth for. Not just to live your days and wonder. Wonder. No one knows, do they? Talk to kids, what do you want to do when you grow up? I don't know. All the changes every day. A priest, a boxer. You know, they don't know. You talk to teenagers, what do you want to do when you grow up? What's the matter with you? What you're asking for? That's how teenagers respond. That means I don't know. Then they go to university and they get educated. And they come out and you say, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they say, I'm keeping my options open. It's another way of saying, I haven't got a clue. most of us haven't got a clue. The truth is, we drift through life, find ourselves in debt or in a relationship or in a marriage or in a situation that we haven't frankly chosen that much. But the amazing thing about God is this: wherever you start from, when you start with Jesus, he puts you on the right track. He becomes the right track for you. It's like a sat-nav. You can be totally lost, but switch it on. Press home. You're on. You're in. Home. Turn net left at the next turning. You're in. You've got God's guidance and God's help. Whatever you're called to do, God wants to help you find it. And lastly, look, you know, wherever. Here's what the Bible says. God says to Joshua, wherever you put your feet, I'll give it to you. God said to Jacob, you know, I will be with you wherever you go. Where would you like to go? You know, maybe you've lived your whole life in Teesside, but God actually wants you to visit lots of different nations and be involved in lots of different things going on all around the world. Well, that's a big part of what we are. There's going to be massive opportunity for international ministry from this church because we've got so many doors and opportunities already. I was sat in Stuart's front room this January with our diaries open, planning a trip to Russia. And that's how this church began. And I just knew this can't go any further without a base here in the UK. Instead of us going everywhere, we need to be sending teams. We need to be training teams. We need people from the nations to come and be with us. That's what Carl and Terry are doing here. Kim Olivia from Estonia to help us. And this is going to be a very international church. Nima from Iran has come all the way from Leeds this morning just to be with us. Come on. And it's fantastic. And wherever we go, you know what? God's going to be with us wherever we go because Jesus said this. Go and preach the gospel, and wherever you end up, I will be with you to the end of the age. If you're going to do my will, I'll be with you. You know what? God is with us. We have a secret weapon. God. He's with us as we move with him, as we dare to move with him. And this is amazing grace. We want this to be amazing grace, not amazing stress, and that's the truth. Grace means undeserved love, kindness, blessing, favour, and freedom. Do you know what? I want this to be a church where people are free to come, free to go. I find it weird when people leave churches and they say, I'll just get permission off the pastors. I'll just get permission. I'll just be released. What, were you in slavery or something? Now, this isn't going to be that kind of church with that kind of heavy leadership. There'll be leadership, all right, but it'll be a dynamic, forward-moving. It will not be controlling and heavy. We just don't do that. It's not me. We're going to be free. If you ever feel God's moving you from this church, awesome. Let's pray for you as you go. If your destiny's with another group, fantastic. But you know what? If it's here, awesome as well. You're free to come. You're free to go. Come and have a look. See what God does. I think your life will be transformed in this wave of God. I do. And one of the ways we want to do that is taking people, what we're calling, through Route 61, which is based on Isaiah 61, which is all the stuff that Jesus said he came on earth to do. The first thing is preach the gospel. We want to be a gospel church where saving lost people is absolutely priority number one all the time. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that's your priority. Maybe that's the first time you're here. Maybe you don't know Jesus personally. You're in this room and you don't really know Jesus. You've never been to church before. Awesome. You're so welcome. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Would you like forgiveness? You can have it before you walk out. You can walk in this museum of dinosaur and walk out alive, resurrected through Jesus. You can. Right now, I'm going to pray in a minute and give you an opportunity to do that. Or maybe you've been drifting for ages, miles away from God's people, miles away from church. I don't know where I'm going. Do you know what? Come back. There's a new start here. It's a new start for us. Make it your new start as well. Today. You know what, Lord? I'm going to start again with you today. I want to be forgiven. I want a clean sheet. I want to walk with you and with these lot and see what happens. Awesome. Absolutely fantastic. Or maybe your heart's broken. Life hurts, doesn't it? You have all these little dreams when you're a little girl and a little boy, but they soon get wrecked out of you. Maybe you're wounded. there's some wonderful Christians who are absolutely anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit, love the gospel, but you know something? They're brokenhearted. There's issues in their hearts. There's time bombs in their hearts that go off and take them out, that wreck marriages, that wreck families, childhood issues unsorted out. Let me tell you the second thing Jesus said he came to do on earth, the second thing in the list, bind up broken hearts. It's an interesting little phrase, isn't it? I mean, it's not heal broken hearts, not sorted. It's almost medical. Bind up. It's gentle. One of the main things we're going to be doing at first with us lot is making sure our hearts are healed, making sure we've forgiven who we need to forgive, making sure God's healed life's hurts for us, and exposing our hearts to Jesus so he can sort us out so that we've got something to give. That's why we want the kids to go in there straight away. You know, not to look after them for half an hour on your knee and be totally distracted, but to ultimately, you know, and it takes a bit of settling down, doesn't it? But ultimately come in here and be able to immediately engage with God and reach, you know, be face to face with God for an hour and a half or whatever, and be undistracted and have communion every week, encounter Jesus in communion. We think communion's absolutely vital for spiritual life. It's the one thing that Jesus said, remember, and it's the one thing the church forgets. How often do you say to people, do you have break bread in your church? Do you have communion in your church? Yeah, I can't remember when though. Well, I think we do it once a month. I think we do it. The early church would be mortified. They broke bread every day. What? We come round the cross every day. We come back to the cross, back to the cross. That's where our life is. That's where our salvation is. That's where we encounter Jesus. We feed on him spiritually. Something supernatural happens in communion. I encourage you as you come here week by week. Hey, if you've never been to church, if you want to know Jesus, if you want forgiveness, you go. You're welcome. Whoever believes, you're in. And so, you know what? It's going to be a journey. It's going to be a process. God's going to take us somewhere in our hearts, and he's going to take us somewhere together. Whoever, whether you think you're somebody or nobody, whatever, let's find out what God's going to do. Let's let go of the past and take hold of something brand new. It's a brave thing to do. It's exciting, you know? It's a brave thing to do. God can use a little group of people to win Teesside, can he? The 600,000 people who don't know God. And that means we've got some work to do. We have right here in Teesside. It's not just international. If it isn't happening here, then where is it going to happen? That's why our hearts are so important. I said to the leaders, the most important thing you can do for this church is get yourself sorted out. The best thing you can do for this church as a leadership, the best thing you can give them, isn't your preaching and your teaching and your, is for you to be healed in your own heart. Because healed people heal people, and hurt people hurt people. That's the truth. So you want to get sorted out together. Do it together. And we just want you to come to everything you want to come to. Just ask the Lord. If he's calling you into this, then awesome. It's a privilege for us and for you. It is for all of us, because this is going to be something brand new. So why don't we pray? Jesus is here. He wants to do something for you right now. You know, we're not sort of ramping up to something. This is it. We're beginning. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Lord, we want to thank you that you are amazing. Your grace is amazing. Your death on the cross is absolutely central and amazing. And Lord, we just humbly begin today asking that you would bless us, asking that you would meet with us, asking that you would guide us. I want to pray for all our friends here today, Lord, the people who you're calling to be here every week by week they would feed on you, week by week they'd just come out full of you, the week by week they'd encounter you, be filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And even now, you know, you can begin to open your heart to God. Say, Lord, this is where I am, been drifting. I want to come back. Well, Lord, you know me. I'm miles away from you. I don't even know who you are. But God, can you do anything with my life? Can you help me become better mum, better husband, better father? You know what the answer is? Of course. The answer is follow me. The answer's come and see. Of course I can. And you know, this morning we were just looking at this big wave, this picture of this awesome massive wave on the internet. And one of my kids ran to me with a little book and said, "Oh look, Dad, here's another picture of a big wave." And the Holy Spirit of God, we just invite you to come into this room now like a wave. You would move through this room. You would touch everyone's heart. If you're saying this morning, "Look, do you know what? I want a fresh start with God. I've been somewhere. I want to be somewhere else. I've been around this route long enough. And I want to change. I want to move now." Then we want to give you an opportunity to be prayed for. We're going to have lots of praying for people in this church. Lots of ministry, lots of prayer. And that's going to be just a key value for us. So let me give you a couple of different opportunities. First of all, if that's you, you're saying, "Look, God, I want to make a statement this morning that I want to start afresh with you." Why don't you just lift your hand now very quickly and just say, "That's me." And you can put your hand straight back down. You're just saying to God, "Count me in." That's great. Well done. You can just put your hands down as soon as you've lifted them. Your hand is a prayer, saying, "Lord, me, I want to start again." Just quickly lift your hand wherever you are. Bless you. Great. Is there anyone else who wants to do that? God's going to read your hand like a prayer and say, "Yeah, okay, seen that. Stamp, got you. Got you. I'll be with you. I'll answer that prayer." Wonderful. Wonderful. Fantastic. Well done. Don't want to rush this, but people are still putting their hands up, so. Is there anyone else? And then we'll just pray about that. Bless you. Well done. Lord, you see every hand and every heart behind every hand and every life represented by that heart and hand. And Lord, we ask you to write it in your registry today to see that prayer, to see that desire to start afresh, to start anew, to become something more than what we've become. And experience you in a deeper way. Lord, answer those prayers this week. Answer them in supernatural, unexpected ways. Let people really realize, "Gosh, I've got a clean sheet here. I've started again. There's something fresh. I feel a new hope." Lord, we just ask you to do that. And we're going to sing a little bit more. And as we do, as we come to it, you know, an end in the next 10 minutes, it's going to be over, but there's an opportunity for you here to respond and receive prayer as well. Maybe something personal, something going on in your life and your heart. Then this is an opportunity for you. And you know what? Why don't you just come? You can either come and stand here at the front. Someone will come and pray for you straight away. You won't be stood on your own for long. Or you can go and stand near the window at the back. Someone will come and pray with you there. It doesn't matter where you are. What matters is you get personal prayer if you want it. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to be healed of something physical, or there's an issue in your heart today and you think, "I can't wait another week, I need God to do a miracle for me," well, this is now. This is now. And we'll come and pray for you straight away. If you're a lady will come and pray for you. If you're a guy will come and pray for you. So let's stand together. Let's sing. And as Ian begins singing, you can come if you want, and there or there, just feel free.